Fundamentally Sound Podcast, Episode 7, The Airing of Grievances. Barstool Reegs, at Ben Brust, as always, your same guys. Lots to talk about. Reegs, how you doing? How was the holiday? How was hosting? Fill us in.
Man, I am okay. The Jackets lost. I do pretend to be a hockey guy. I enjoy hockey, but it is way down in my list. So I'm okay in that sense. I'm very happy, though, to see your Bulls take a 1-0 lead over the Celtics, because fuck the Celtics.
I don't know if I can call them my Bulls.
Yeah,
I don't ever.
You grew up in Chicago. Anything related, like Portello's,
yeah,
is your Portello's. Deep dish pizza.
You don't even know how to. You don't even know how to say part. What do you call it? Portello's. It's not
Portillo's.
Portillo's. It's not. It's not an East Coast Portello's.
I said Portello's, didn't I?
It sounded weird. Just leave it to us to say, and to eat our beefs and hot dogs and
your
burgers.
Deep dish pizza. Your deep dish pizza.
Deep dish pizza,
which is really just lasagna.
No.
It's not pizza. I can guarantee it's not pizza.
What have you had? Like, where did you get?
Oh, I've been to what are the two famous? There are the two main places there.
There's Lumonati's.
I've
there's
been
there. Gino's East. There's Giordano's.
I've been to Giordano's, and what's the first one? Lumonati's.
Lumonati's. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to those two.
And you think it's just lasagna?
I mean, it's not pizza.
So do you even like it?
I like it, but I wouldn't call it pizza.
All right. Well, yeah, that's just ridiculous, dude.
Dude, like, pizza is like you got to have the big greasy flop.
So that's just an East Coast thing. You're just so set in your ways. You only think pizza is one thing, when we have thin crust, we have deep dish.
See, I've never seen or had Chicago thin crust. I've only had the Chicago deep dish.
So no, it's not.
These are part of my grievances.
Oh, this was not planned.
This was not planned at all.
You've had a lot of built-up grievances, I guess.
I mean, here's the thing: like,
towards Chicago-style pizza, too, of all things.
I do like deep dish. I just don't call it pizza. Like, to me, I call it deep dish. Like, it's Chicago deep dish.
Well, anyway, the Bulls and
your Bulls,
quote unquote, my Bulls are up 1-0 against the Celtics. I don't know what to think of it. This is so Bulls to be so unpredictable and reel the whole city of Chicago in. Bobby Portis go, I don't know, 6 for 7 from the field.
Former Robin, SEC Player of the Year, Bobby Portis.
Robin Lopez looking better than his brother Brooke out there.
Former New York Knick, Robin Lopez.
There's somehow a connection to New York and everything we're going to talk about today, huh?
I'm just going to say former whatever to the most obscure thing I can think of for any player on the Bulls.
I mean, but by the way, unbelievable story about Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, man, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine being in those shoes.
Like a sister. Close in age. Like, I don't know how he played.
That's what I'm saying. I can't imagine doing anything. I can't imagine getting out of bed.
Obviously,
like, we both have siblings. We both have siblings. Could you imagine, you know, your first game of the NCAA tournament and you finding out one of your siblings passed in a horrific accident the day before?
I don't get it. Like, man. I mean, people handle it differently for sure, but
right. Like, you hear, you know, like the Brett Favre when he went out on Monday Night Football and it was, well, you know, this is what my dad would want me to do. And you hear things like that, and I get it, you know, it's kind of your escape from reality, but
yeah,
God, man, like, I don't know. Siblings are just so different, because it's someone your age.
It's someone your age. It's like almost like a best friend. It's someone you've shared every memory growing up with. Like, that is crazy.
In a horrific way. It's not, you know, it's not a sickness. It's not cancer. It's not, you know,
some sort of illness. He played pretty well despite everything. I mean, they didn't play well. Jimmy Butler was
Jimmy Butler was the best player on the court.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like a first team All-NBA All-Star tonight. And he can do that. He has those games where he'll make tough contested shots in, like, hand in the face and just, like, pure swishing them. step back, coming off a screen, full transition. Then some games would be like, all right, Jimmy's got to be a number two guy. So like that's where you don't know where you stand with Jimmy Butler. Some days you'll get superstar Jimmy, and some days you'll get like that's the number two guy. That's the guy who's just got to play defense, and he needs an all-star on his side.
Yeah, I feel like that's the frustrating part about Jimmy Butler. It's because you see the games like tonight, and you're like, he can do this. Like, he
yeah,
can do
there,
this.
There's our guy. We have an all-star.
Right.
But my honest opinion, despite the Bulls being up 1-0, like, this is so Bulls, and the Bulls need to just wipe management, wipe this whole roster, and literally start over from ground zero.
I'll trade the rosters. You want the
other,
next, you want the
other,
next stuff?
No, I mean, they're both not in good shape. But otherwise, the Bulls will do what they've been doing the last, I don't know how long now, 8 years or so, making the playoffs every year, whether it be an 8 seed or a 2 seed, 3 seed.
In fairness to you guys, Rose's injury completely fucked up that franchise.
It crippled them completely.
Like that, he was, I mean, you know,
pre-injury,
everyone wants to make fun
he
of him.
Was unbelievable.
Right, like everyone wants to make fun of Derrick Rose now, and it's easy to do, it's fun to do, especially as a Knicks fan, but man, he was good. He was really good. And
so this made
did you watch
this,
the Calipari 30 for 30 with like him in college? Like, I think people forget how good he was in college.
I haven't recorded. I haven't watched it yet. But Derrick Rose in high school, I remember watching him like live. When he got a rebound and went coast to coast, it was absolutely ridiculous.
He was
and,
even in college, he was one of the few people that could do that.
In college, he was lightning quick. But here's the thing I'm going to say about Derrick Rose, that even if he didn't get hurt, I don't know if the Bulls – I still don't think the Bulls win a championship. There's something about him.
Well, it's not him. It's they didn't
no,
have
no, no.
LeBron.
No, yeah. No, no. Yeah, like so. Here's my thing with Derrick Rose. He's 6'1".
Right.
He doesn't have an outside jump shot. At the end of the day, when LeBron guarded D Rose on the perimeter late in games, Derrick couldn't do anything. They won one game on a Derrick Rose like step back bank shot that was
sure.
So lucky.
Well,
but
here's
like,
the thing. It's not
that guy's not going to be able to carry you to an NBA championship.
Well,
he'll be able to carry you to
build
the conference finals.
They didn't build around him the best either.
No, they never had a scoring two guard, ever.
That's the thing. So I'm not going to rule out that they wouldn't have won a championship because who knows? You know, they
but what
they
you're
catch
saying
him on the right time.
But what you're saying is they never built well enough around him. I just don't. I'm talking about like in those like money time when it's late in the game. Like when he's
the
go-to. The
difference was LeBron could guard Derrick Rose and nobody could guard LeBron.
Exactly. And
LeBron's LeBron is the most talented player. I mean, I think he's a tougher guard than Jordan. Just because when you look at height, weight, everything like that, I think he's a tougher guard than Jordan.
I don't know if he's a tougher guard, so to say. I think he's a tougher matchup.
That's what I mean. Like he's – you can't really – you could pick somebody to say – try to guard Jordan. I mean, how many people in the world could you sit there and go, like, you're giving up something when you guard LeBron? You're either giving up size or speed because you're putting a 4 on him or you're putting like a 2 on him.
And we got way off topic, but I kind of enjoyed ranting about the Bulls a little bit because, again, they need to wipe everything clean. They don't have a LeBron type player.
No.
Jimmy Butler, arguably, like, He does stuff like this to get you reeled in, but at the end of the day, I still think they need like to just start over completely.
So, do you think would you be in favor of the Bulls trading Jimmy Butler?
No, not without new management.
That's the key. Okay, so that's the key. It's the new management.
That's the key. It starts from the
right.
top.
What if
then...
what if the Knicks trade James Dolan to the Bulls? For nothing.
The Knicks would be in better shape.
What if they trade James Dolan for a subscription to this podcast?
Oh, it's just sad because the New York Knicks and the Chicago Bulls should be two of the best NBA basketball franchises, whatever they want to call it, in the nation.
Instead, the 100%. Fucking Thunder and like the Trailblazers are relevant.
More relevant than the Bulls. Both of those teams are
That's
better.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just listening to – and shout out to Portland. I'm sure Portland's a fun city, but you're, like, let's be honest, you're in the Great Northwest. I don't give a shit about the Great Northwest. I live in the East Coast.
Hey, 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 easy. You are Mr. Ryden Gonzaga.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying I don't care if they're relevant. Like, I don't care if the Trailblazers are relevant.
Yeah.
Like, shout out RIP Sonics.
That was they have some sweet jerseys. I'm sure you have some throwbacks.
Oh yeah.
But I'm glad
favorite throwback jersey. For everyone that's just tuning in, like, let's just say you fast forwarded 9.5 minutes. We're getting loose tonight because it's Easter Sunday. What's your favorite throwback basketball jersey that A, you own, and B, that you wish you owned? Two-part question.
Okay, two-part question. The A, that I own, I don't have too many, but one thing I do love is I have a Golden State Warriors throwback, like straight yellow with the Golden Gate Bridge on the front.
Yep, the city.
Jason Richardson.
Ooh, that's a good one. That is a good one.
Yeah. One that I don't have that I want, I would just want a throwback Chicago Bulls black pinstripe in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that jersey for some reason.
Those are both good.
Go ahead.
My favorite's a college throwback, and it's a Santa Clara Steve Nash red jersey.
Wow, where'd you find that?
Chinese Amazon.
Chinese.
I got it for $30. It fits like a glove. It's wonderful. The one that I wish I had, I think if we're sticking NBA, I really want the black Suns, like late 90s Steve Nash jersey.
I didn't know you were such a big Nash guy.
Love Steve Nash.
Hey, you know what's funny is my jersey made Steve Nash's kid.
All right, go ahead. Tell the story.
No. Jason Richardson, didn't Steve Nash's kid come out half black or whatever?
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant like your actual jersey.
No.
I was.
No.
I was like, wait a minute. Hold
no.
on.
No.
No, like I love Steve Nash. Like he's one of my – he was one of my favorite players to watch. I mean, I don't want to say created, but he kind of made mainstream the jump off the wrong foot as a guard to like protect yourself going up and like in at the rim and everything like that. So
I don't know where I saw this, but I saw your buddies give you some shit about who's the guy in the Portland Trailblazers that didn't shoot a shot?
Mo Hart. It was on Facebook.
My
high school team. Yeah, Mo Hart.
Mo Hart. They said they needed a Bobby Regan rule. Not to shoot a three in high school. Yeah. I need to see your jump shot.
It's literally not bad. So my coach, I had a very old school coach, and it was point guards do not shoot. Like I shot like freshman year when I played freshman ball, JV. I played sophomore year. I played JV and kind of sat varsity. Then junior senior year started varsity. Freshman and sophomore year, like I was a shooter. And then it was, you're not shooting. So it was just one of those, like literally my senior year, I went 2 for 3 from the 3-point line.
Solid.
Yeah. And averaged 11 points a game.
Did you get your bonus of 500K?
I wish, man, I wish I played for a dirty program.
You know what? This just sparked a thought in my head as we move to maybe some college basketball complaining. Why don't they do like individual like incentives? No, that would be terrible. Never mind. Scratch that idea.
you just talked yourself in and out of a program.
Scratch that idea. That would be terrible if you had individual incentives for college players. Do you know how like selfish these kids would get and the team would?
You couldn't do that.
That would be terrible.
Imagine you like freshman year.
Why wouldn't they have team incentives though?
Like if you make the Sweet 16 or
regular season conference champions, tournament champions, any round that you win in the NCAA tournament,
or even go sweet, win the tournament, win the first one, so you get to the Sweet 16, win your second four to get to the Final Four. Like even that would be cool. Like
something, right? Like just some sort of. There we go. This was good.
This is the same way.
My initial thought helped me get into my next thought, which what was wrong turned to right. So just get no individual incentives for college players, but team incentives. It's already a team incentivized like culture. I mean, everything is about your college basketball team making it to the conference tournament.
Well, not only that, but like you need to have a certain APR and everything like that, which is all team based, to even be eligible. I mean, look at UConn. Like, they weren't eligible for the NCAA tournament, what, the year before they won it with Shabazz when they beat Kentucky your senior year, because the team didn't hit the APR.
And then, so, and I'm going to ask you a question that you said UConn. Where is that program at? And then what about Wichita State moving conferences to that conference? Like, yeah, I think it's irrelevant.
Yeah, this is a good thing to bring up. So UConn, man, they need to be good. Like, the American bringing in Wichita, it makes a ton of sense for both teams. As much as everyone loves history and Wichita being in the Missouri Valley, like, yeah, that's great and everything. But we saw this year, like, they're grossly underseeded. And they were one of the best conference teams in the country. But they were a 10 seed and had to play Kentucky, who was, again, according to the S-curve, your number one 2 seed, grossly, grossly underseeded. So them going to the American makes sense because they'll get better, more chances for better wins. They get to play UConn. They'll get to play Cincinnati. They'll get to play SMU. You expect Memphis or Houston to kind of be good. So I think it makes a ton of sense for Wichita because, let's face it, it's all – we're talking about incentives. It's all money-based. They're going to make the most money in the – like, they'll make more money in the American than they will in the Missouri Valley.
All right. So, no, I mean, it definitely makes sense, but I just don't see that much of a difference in the conferences.
It just – to me, it helps boost the American because now it's another – to me, like, the American needs UConn to be good to be a relevant conference. They need Memphis to be good. Like, UConn, they need UConn to be UConn. They need Memphis to be a good program. And then you just kind of bank that Cincinnati and SMU will be relevant. And then you get, you know, Central Florida 1 year or Tulsa 1 year.
I mean, Johnny Dawkins is down there. They're doing
right.
Good
that's
things.
What I'm saying. They're in the NIT this year or the NIT championship game. Like, you kind of bank on them being, you kind of rotate or Temple. You kind of rotate, you know, that fifth team. So Wichita State at least takes a little bit of pressure off of Memphis. Just because the American needs Memphis to be good.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, now Illinois State is in the driver's seat to not have to complain about being with Wichita State. And what is it, Dan Mullen is his name?
Dan Mullen, yeah.
Yeah, so he was the one who complained, hey, I asked all these – high major conference teams to play a home and home, and nobody responds. So now he's, you know, he's lost the one team.
He got Ole Miss to schedule a home and home.
Oh, good for Andy Kennedy.
You know what? Credit to him, though. I mean, he at least said, fuck
no,
it, we'll do it.
I respect that. But right. now their conference, he's going to need that even more. Now their conference is going to be worse.
It is Dan Mullen. I said Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen's the Mississippi State football coach.
What are you doing over there?
Oh, that was – shout out to my dog who hasn't barked but just dropped a bone next to me on the hardwood floor.
I haven't heard your dog bark once yet.
That's because they've – shout out to both my dogs for never barking during a podcast. But Oakley, named after Charles.
Charles.
He is for real, named after Charles, did just drop a large bone onto my hardwood floor.
And what's the other dog's name and who would you name it after? What basketball player? Can't wait to hear this.
So the other dog is – so Oakley's our two-year-old chocolate lab. I picked him out. He was the biggest of the litter, which is why I wanted him. He looks a little bit like a Great Dane, even though he's not. But our second dog is a 14-year-old long-haired miniature dachshund named Rocky, which came with my fiancé. So I did not get to name him. But, he's my little man. He'd straight up just like, he'll just lay there and just stare at you and be like, man, pet me. I'm cool. Just let me lay here.
Yeah, I got nothing, but I think I'm getting a dog probably next year.
Are you? What kind? big or little?
I want medium. So okay. I have a buddy with a mini golden doodle and I love it.
That's what my college roommate who lives in Cincinnati has too, is a mini golden doodle.
Yeah, I got a buddy who who has one. I had a cockapoo growing up, which
Okay.
was tiny, and I was scared of it when I was in first grade, which is crazy to think about looking back at how
See, I had a border
small it
collie.
was.
I had a border collie German Shepherd growing up.
Well, you have a real reason to actually be scared of that
Oh,
growing
I
up.
wasn't. I was like, he slept with me. I was like, this is, I love big dogs. Like, I want a pit bull. Like, my dream is to have my chocolate lab. I want three labs. I want the chocolate, the yellow, and the black lab, and name them Kristaps, Oakley, and Mason after my Knicks. And
So,
then,
you sure you want to do that? Are you sure your boy's not forcing a trade on management?
man, I'm, you know what?
How sad
I
would
have
you be?
faith. I have faith.
You have faith.
I don't know why. Like, probably because I'm a little bit drunk. That's the only reason I should have faith in this goddamn shitty franchise. But
Oh, goodness.
I want three labs, and then give me a pit bull. I want a blue pit bull and a boxer, and I'll be very content. I want five big dogs.
Dude, you must have been at the bar or something.
No, man. Like, I love dogs. Give me five big dogs, and I'm happy as hell.
Yeah, I want that mini golden doodle. They don't shed,
No, they don't.
and
They're
it's perfect.
lovable, man.
Yeah, and I need some love in my life, right?
There you go. This is how you find your volleyball player.
Oh, are we still on that?
I mean, we have to, right?
Yeah. Well, this could be a good time for my new job announcement.
Yes, this is the perfect segue to. I kind of want to put this as a poll. Like, I kind of want to hide and be like, what do people think Ben just got hired to do?
Yeah, but if you put the option, what would the
I
options
know, I
be?
know.
We'd
We couldn't, because, all right, let's let you answer this question. I'll ask you, Ben, what did you just get hired to do?
Your boy is now a model.
A male model, Derek Zoolander Brust.
Yeah, Ben Zoolander Breast.
There you go.
I'm working on my pose, but no, I mean, I'm not a model. I'm never going to say I'm a model. So
I will.
my sister-in-law found a Facebook ad, and this is the best part. Like, it said, looking for male Caucasian, 23 to 28 years old, with basketball experience.
Absurd. Completely absurd.
Like, are you kidding me?
There's just so much wrong with that sentence. Like, why Caucasian? Why
Yeah,
23 to 28? Like, what's wrong with 29?
it just like, and I'm right in the middle of that age gap. It was almost kind of weird. I was like, this can't be real. It can't be a real job, and it can't pay decent.
Right.
So I sent in some pictures of me playing back in the day, and then obviously like my LinkedIn picture, and
Did you send a bunch of your pictures with your shaved head?
I sent the one of me falling into James Young's crotch.
Oh, we will tweet that picture out.
So I sent the photos in, and they go, "Oh my gosh, you have a great look. You should come to the casting." And you're
And this was
silent.
in what city was this in Chicago?
This is in Chicago. So I go to the casting, and the best part is there's a lot of best parts if you can't tell. Tw 20 minutes before I go in this thing, I'm starving. And I'm driving around, I see a Wendy's. I'm like, sure, I'm starving. So I get a number two from Wendy's, which is like a double cheeseburger and fries and a Coke. Do you realize like all these male models that I walked in to see, like they
So mad.
if they knew what I ate, they would be like, you know how the male models are. I'm not gonna
So mad.
stereotype or call anyone out, but I'm
Yeah,
going
like, you
to.
don't eat fast food walking into
Walking
an
into a
audition.
casting.
Right.
So all of them have like sleeveless shirts on, and I play nowadays in a long sleeve, mostly
So
because I'm.
wait a minute. Hold on. Let's go a little sidebar here. You playing a long sleeve?
I do play in a long sleeve.
Oh. I've reverted back to like practice jersey. No undershirt.
Gross,
I love it.
gross. I'm just thinking of Along Came Polly right now.
No, like it's not like that at all. I just
No, I picture you
never
as
been.
hairy and sweaty, even though you have like
Right,
your jersey on, like
right.
just your nasty, gross skin, and
The worst is
that's
like
what I picture when I picture you
Oh,
playing.
I mean, like when I play in like my men's league, there's a lot of gross things that are just like, oh, I don't want to play defense on you.
Yeah, so I'm going back to my story because mine's better.
Oh no, go ahead. I was shocked to hear that you still play in a long sleeve.
Then I'd check in, and they're all checking in. Like, they ask you your name, your height, and who you're represented by. And obviously, I don't have a agency representing me.
Right.
So they write on my whiteboard my name, my height, and then they said, like, from the street.
That's so great.
Making me sound like some homeless guy off the
Right,
street.
right.
And then I go to the photo shoot. I give them my whiteboard with my name. And because I had a long sleeve on, they made me take my shirt off. So the guy who just had Wendy's is now standing there at the shirt off, posing for pictures, balling it up. Luckily, I started working out a month and a half ago, so I'm not just completely, you know, a piece of shit. Like, I have some muscle now.
Right.
But then after that, I went to the video session. They asked about my basketball experience. I'm not going to lie. I bragged like fucking crazy.
Oh, did you ever see this play? Let me tell you about
it. Yeah, so Allstate in high school, scored 50 points in a game twice. In college, I played at University of Wisconsin. So my line now that Bronson broke the all-time three-point record is, when I was a senior, I set the all-time three-point field goal record at Wisconsin history, because that's not false.
Right.
I said it.
Here, I never told you this about me. There is a rule in Pennsylvania high school basketball named after me.
What's that?
So my senior year state title game, I foul out and get a technical because I lifted. I knew I fouled. It was like a minute and a half to go. And I knew I fouled out. So I lifted my shirt out of my shorts and went to go bite it. And the guy on the other team screamed, "Fuck yeah, it's over." And they thought it was me. So they team me up. And
why would you say that following out?
They thought I said "fuck you."
Oh.
So, and like to this day you can I still remember turning, like, hearing the double whistle and like turning my head around going, "What did I get teed up for?" And everyone thought I got teed up for taking, you know, untucking your shirt and lifting it up. Like, there is
But that's been around forever.
I'll tweet this picture out. There's a picture that the newspaper ran on the front page of me lifting my jersey, like, over, like, it's just my nipples and my stomach. And that's what they ran on the front cover. And it's
that's
literally
great.
So the starting in 2006, this was the 2005 state championship game. It's the 05-06 season after I graduated. It's called the Regan Rule of anytime you physically remove your jersey out of your shorts, it's an automatic technical to remove any confusion.
Yeah.
This happened, not only that, but it happened in a
was
four
it,
point. It happened
I was
in
just
a four
saying,
point
did it happen in a time where like it affected the game?
It was a 4-point game.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah. We did not win.
back to my modeling gig. Most important thing here. They call me back the next week to do some live shooting and dribbling in like a real gym. So I meet the director, and I found out the director
one on nothing drills.
One on nothing, like, okay. Just me dribbling, like, and shooting, even dunking. I have a video of dunking. I can tweet that out to show it's real still.
Yeah, we're gonna need a measurement.
And the director's from Madison, so obviously. He knows me, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? This is not making any sense at all. The commercial is for Unity Health Insurance, which is partnered with UW Health, like all the doctors and like in the insurance for Wisconsin, like University of Wisconsin is all through UW Health. So I'm doing this commercial for UW Health. It's going to be airing all over Wisconsin for a year.
Which is just perfect.
Like, you can't make this stuff up. It's ridiculous. From the Facebook ad to ask from them saying what they wanted specifically in the person to me beating all these male models after having Wendy's to having this film all over Wisconsin. It's perfect. And I'm filming it on Tuesday. They sent me four pairs of Under Armour shoes already. I get some Under Armour gear. I make some money doing this, which is a pretty good chunk of change for a day's work.
What,
so
we got to know, because I'm a little bit of a sneakerhead. What kind of shoes? What kind of Under Armour shoes are we rocking here?
Dude, I'm not a sneakerhead at all. I'll say I think they're the Curries. I don't know.
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah, I got two pairs right now. They're sending four more that come in tomorrow. I'll have to just send a mass exodus of pictures.
Yeah, we need to tweet this out. The people, the fundamentally sound. heads need to know this.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at...
We need to come up... Somebody... Here's the job for people that listen to this podcast. Come up with a name of your... Like, the fans that listen to this.
The fans?
Like, what do we call people that, like, devoutly listen to our podcast?
Yeah, I mean, we got to keep it somewhat generic because we can't make it one fan base specific or regionally specific.
That's what I mean. Like, you know, like, there's stoolies or sneakerheads. Like, we need the simple, like, two-syllable... I don't know, morons that listen to two bigger morons talk.
I think you're close with sneakerheads. Like, we can build off that. Obviously, sneakerheads. Right. We can kind of bounce off that, and we'll get there.
I think somebody needs to come up with this.
Barstool Reegs, and then my model name. I need a model name.
You do need a model. This
almost make up my alter ego.
This is a plea to people. So this will be released Monday night. Monday afternoon, Tuesday, you know, you'll probably listen to this Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning. We need to, if you're listening to this, tweet us and tweet fundamentally sound PD or fundamentally SD. I always mess up our names.
I was waiting for you to mess up. All right, let me do this. Please tweet us at fundamentally SD on Twitter.
I always give out the Reddit name and I don't know why. Fundamentally SD, tweet us, Ben's model name. And the name for people that listen to this podcast every time we put one out, because shout out to you guys.
Yeah, I play in a men's league, and I just got the nickname Len Crust.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I don't mind it, but that's not my model name. It's kind of like my drunk men's league name.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of calling you Len from here on out.
Len Crust.
That's a good one. I really like that.
So let's go back to the agenda, because I don't even think we talked about one thing that's been on there, and it's been fun. I've enjoyed this episode. I think you got a decent buzz from watching your Blue Jackets lose.
Man, it was like an 80 degree day. Like, my fiance and I just went out, sat on the patio, and had a couple beers. It was perfect.
I'm completely burnt. I sat outside yesterday. Like, when it gets sunny one day in the Midwest for like 73 degrees, we all just max to the sun, and I sat outside right on the lake, and I am burnt to a crisp.
It was funny.
I'm kind of worried. Like,
it was funny today.
This is going to sound so lame, but I'm worried for my modeling game.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm burnt. Like, are they going to be like, no, this is unacceptable. We need somebody new.
Probably. That was, like, funny today, though, man. Like, so we were at this kind of a newer bar downtown in Cincinnati, and like, super nice patio. It's all, like, outdoors and whatnot. So we're saying, like, let's go down there. Like, let's check it out. And the people that were there, there was literally, like, you could tell who literally left church to come to the bar. Who were, like, us, who had, like, family over in the morning and were just wearing, you know, like, a kind of, like, a casual shirt and shorts. And then a group of people that came in wearing, like, a tank top and pair of board shorts. And it was like, I was just sitting there, like, both of us were sitting there kind of cracking up, like, man, you can just tell, like, it's starting to get warm out in the Midwest.
Yeah, when it gets warm in the Midwest, like, that's like 50s to us, and people start wearing shorts, and they're getting a little overzealous with everything that they do.
Oh, like, people wearing tank tops, and I'm like, yeah, man, like, it's 78 right now, but give it 2 hours, and it will be 54.
All right, well, let's get to...
Should we bitch? It's time for us to bitch.
Well, it's mostly going to be you. I mean, I'm pretty calm with this stuff because not a lot of it's going to change, but I will like to talk about what we at least think can be changed complain about stuff.
I will say it is kind of cool that both of us who come from different backgrounds kind of agree on most of this.
I think we do for the most part. A lot of the times we don't necessarily agree when it comes to, like, actual playing of the game and styles and basketball.
Right, and that's honestly the cool thing about basketball is there is no necessarily correct way to look at it.
Yeah.
Like, there are different ways to be successful in basketball. And you saw it the last couple of years.
No, you can play fast, you can play slow, you can play with more bigs. You can do that's what's so great about the game. You can play in a different style. But get me started on the first topic that we were talking about.
So this stems, me and you were texting about it, And really, it stemmed, I want to say it was Monday of last week. And his name slipped my mind, but he was at Mississippi State. He was going to be a freshman. Originally got denied his release from his national letter of intent. And I know this hits a little bit of home for you.
Yeah, this will get me going.
So what really pissed me off was A, obviously the denial of the request of release, because it's a 17, 18 year old kid who I'm sure didn't read every word in there. And second of all, people going, well, the kid needs to honor his commitment. And you know what you sign into when you sign a national letter of intent. First off, if you think that way, fuck you. Straight up, fuck you. Because you're a goddamn moron. And you know what? I want to see how many things you broke. Because you are the biggest hypocrite in the fucking world. Actually, you're the second biggest hypocrite in the fucking world. The biggest hypocrite in the fucking world are the ADs and anyone associated with athletic departments.
Wow.
They are. Like, who would not? You know what? Like, Rothstein had this column, and it floated around, talking about Andy O'Toole at Robert Morris, and how he talked about how developing and adapting to up transfers, which we will get into later. You're telling me Andy O'Toole would turn down a job at, oh, I don't know, Georgetown to stay at Robert Morris?
No, there's a big load of irony in just about everything that goes on in the recruiting process, in the transfer process, and in the coaches changing jobs.
Even like ADs, that whole thing. Up transfer.
There's so much. There's ADs as well. There's so much irony in college sports. It's all about following the money. It's all about doing what's best for the individual. But then when it gets to the kids who are coming out of high school, it then becomes like this big
and it was
light
Harrison
on them.
Brooks was the player name. He's a 4-star that was going to go to Mississippi State. Just to clarify what stemmed from this, it was Garrison Brooks was his name.
Yeah. So again, what happened to me was not necessarily the letter of intent, but so I signed to go to Wisconsin. I signed the Big Ten tender.
To go to Iowa.
Excuse me. I signed. Yes. Thank you for that, clearing that up. I signed to go to the University of Iowa to play for Todd Licklider, and I signed a Big Ten tender. And that was the issue. That was basically saying I'm signing to get a scholarship, and now I'm entering into someone who's at the school. But the fact of the matter is, I was still in high school. I hadn't even graduated high school yet.
So
this
were you
was
17
in.
Or are you older? Would you have been 18?
I was. Ooh, I might have been 18. Yeah, I was 18 at the time. Which I don't think that. I think that's irrelevant.
But I'm
regardless.
Just saying, to put context, like. When you hear that name, and just
how yeah. So you're just talking about how old. Yeah, so I hope you weren't going to go all legal
no,
on me. Well, you were 18 and an adult.
No,
you
I'm
signed
just
this.
How dumb. Like,
no,
18-year-olds are dumb. 17-year-olds are dumber.
It's true. So here's the problem. I go through my whole senior year thinking I'm going to Iowa, watching every game. I'm excited for my career. Then I go to the Big Ten tournament. I watch them lose in the first round, and I hear Todd Licklider is getting fired. All right. Kind of saw it coming. Not surprised. It was year three. They weren't playing well. I went there because I wanted the opportunity to play in the Big Ten and to have a chance to play right away. Okay, great. I want to reopen my recruitment. Why in the world
let me backtrack for a second. Who did you pick Iowa over?
I picked Iowa over Butler, Brad
Horizon
Stevens.
Right.
Horizon League Butler. Very big difference. I picked them over Northwestern,
okay.
Bill Carmody. Oh, my gosh. What an oh, they got a call continuation.
We're both watching
Sorry, that
the Rockets.
Was unbelievable.
The Rockets Thunder game right now.
What a finish. Yeah. Did you see that? He got tackled by Taj and then like somehow got it up. Who is
that?
I can't tell. Yeah. Look at that. That is unreal. So anyway. Yes, Todd Licklider at Iowa committed to, Brad Stevens at Horizon League Butler, Bill Carmody Northwestern, Johnny Dawkins Stanford, and those were my four. I had one in the West Coast, I had one close to home, I had one in the Big Ten, and then one I just loved the coach and they were doing great things in the program. Four solid schools that I could have went to. So the reason why I went committed to Iowa also is, you know, I wanted to label myself as a high major player. And I talked a little bit about this with Luke Wynn. And doesn't it look like Billy Donovan just drank a Miller
Yeah,
Lite?
Billy. I mean, Bill Donovan looks like a Miller High Draft kind of guy.
That looked like it looked like a can of Miller Lite.
It was
that
for
was
sure
that
Diet
was
Coke,
awesome.
But it looked like Miller Lite, especially after the turnover.
So, yeah, and he was not happy. So, crap, where was I? Help me out.
You just listed the four schools that it came down to.
Oh, just, yeah. And the reason why I went to Iowa was to label myself as high major, because now, after the coach left, I've reopened up my recruitment, and I'm getting recruited by a lot more prestige places than if I would have committed to the Horizon League and been major plus.
About, if you commit to Butler, you reopen it to probably, like, VCU, Dayton.
Yeah.
Again, great schools,
it's more
– you're not –
Yeah, but right. it's not
right.
High major Power Five conference. So then I'm getting looks with Oregon, Clemson, Northwestern again, Minnesota, Wisconsin. I went on an official visit to Southern California. I went to Boston College. So I mean, like, it was a ton of schools because you know at that point in the game,
Iowa recruit Ben Brust reopens
commitment,
as opposed to former Butler commit Ben Brust reopens commitment.
And plus, I mean, this is the same season that I scored 50 points twice in a game
in
my
Chicago
senior year.
Area, Ben Brust, not, you know, not.
The Chicago Bulls.
Well, no, I mean Chicago area. Like, you hear Chicago area, and it just even perks up.
Yeah,
the
no.
Opposed to saying, you know, Sioux City, Iowa, Ben Brust.
Exactly. So that was the main premise there. And I went on, and Wisconsin recruited me my sophomore year. And then they obviously had Vanderbilt and then Evan Anderson commit and they got out of scholarships. But the timing worked out that someone who was on scholarship left Wisconsin. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to commit. I love Wisconsin. I love the campus.
Did you have any ties to Wisconsin?
They win.
No.
I didn't have any ties other than the coaches who recruited me when I was a sophomore.
Your brothers went there or something like that.
No ties. Just like fell in love with campus and the school when I was there. And I wanted to commit in Bo Ryan's office, and I told him I was going to come there. And then he had told me, Ben, unfortunately, if you want to come to Wisconsin, you're going to have to, you know, be a preferred walk-on the first year. And I was like, all right, yeah,
right.
See ya.
Right.
Like, I'm not doing that. Like, as much as I love Wisconsin, you have plenty of other offers. But it, I'm not gonna lie, it broke my heart. Like, I was like, this is where I want to go. This is where I thought I was going. Then we had to put in a request to the NCAA to change the ruling, and I was denied the initial response. And then Minnesota, Northwestern, and Wisconsin put in an appeal, and I kind of leveraged Northwestern and Minnesota on purpose, as like I never really was gonna go to either of them. And,
so would this
you know,
Tubby at Minnesota?
Okay. This was Tubby at Minnesota and still Bill,
right.
Bill again. And so I leveraged their law people in the athletic department. They put in an appeal to the Big Ten, and I ended up winning that appeal, which granted me access to any Big Ten school being able to go on scholarship.
Which, can we talk about how much bullshit that is that you even had to get to that point?
That's so much work. This is the reason why we talk about the whole story is to let you know, like, that is a long process for a 17, 18 year old kid who's just all the rest of the kids in the world had applied and picked their school and knew what dorms
like
they were going to stay in.
Here's me. I, you know, part of the reason I went to Kentucky was they have an accredited journalism program. Okay, well, let's say Northwestern came in and said, oh, hey, guess what? You're off the waiting list. You're now approved to come to Northwestern. Right.
You're there.
Like, if they were number two on my overall list or whatever, are you kidding me? And guess what? I don't have to apply to anything.
Yeah, and, like, and Iowa booed me every time I touched the ball. Give me a break. Like, what a joke. Like, if you want to boo me for a real reason, sure. It's not that I didn't like Iowa. I really enjoyed the campus. I really enjoyed that school. Fran McCaffrey came to my house twice, and to be quite honest, I like Fran McCaffrey. I think he's a pretty good coach, and I really think I would have played really well there. I probably would average 15, 16 a game because they play a system that I played in high school, and Fran and I talked about that. But at the end of the day, I didn't want to commit to a guy who came in to the picture so late. He did a good job of you know, coming to my house, and I got to know him a little bit. But when you're labeled as a Licklider recruit and someone comes in and you're not their guy, you can be a fall guy. And it's very easy for them to be like, oh, well, I didn't recruit him and he didn't work out. So I wanted to go somewhere where I knew I was wanted. Wisconsin, I was wanted. I had a chance to play right away. Obviously, circumstances and all that. My freshman year, I'm not going to get into that. But it just didn't happen. I got better as a player. But I got to go to the place that I, after doing my due diligence, wanted to go to. And the fact that kids cannot do that without going through an appeals process or –
Garrison Brooks got denied at first.
Yeah, I mean, and this is different than, and I don't know if you remember Jared Utoff when Bo put a restriction on Utoff. Little different. Do I think we maybe put a restriction on a couple too many schools? Yeah, probably. But the idea is this kid did go to Wisconsin. He enrolled in Wisconsin. He had the opportunity to go elsewhere, but he chose to come to Wisconsin. So when you transfer, you know, I'm not saying that you should, you know, be restricting people, because you know it should not be a double standard to the coaches that it is to the players, where the coaches can go leave and go wherever they want to. You know, but the players shouldn't have to be crucified for doing what's right for them, whether they leave.
And you know what? I can understand before they go to school a little bit. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I can at least understand the conference restriction, especially if it's like, you know, you spend a year at a school and being like, you know what? I don't want
you to
transfer.
You know the ins and outs of the program. You know the plays. You know what the schemes are. You can share some information.
I can understand
I get that. And that's why I've kind of like paused a little bit on what I was saying about Jared Utoff. But again, they closed way too many schools.
Right.
But the conference-to-conference thing, I can get a little bit.
The conference, the inter-conference.
You don't really see you don't really see coaches going conference-to-conference as it is. I don't know if that's a rule, but you just don't see that.
That's part of the thing where I can understand. Like, hey, you know what? I don't want you to go from Wisconsin to Michigan. Just because, again, you see each other, you see all the recruits coming in. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I can understand it. Because I'm all for
it. And again, because the coaches aren't doing it, and that's where I'm like, okay, well, then the players should be put to the same standard.
Right.
But because these coaches are running around ragged, like changing jobs whenever they want, no one's crucifying them, and the players get the crucified
Brian
reference.
Brian Underwood, now the head coach at Illinois, and I think he's an unbelievable coach. He's one of the best coaches in America. And I don't blame him for leaving Oklahoma State for Illinois after 1 year, because Illinois
– Do you see the money?
Not only
the money he's getting?
It's also a better job.
It is. He's got way more of an opportunity.
I'm praising him for taking this. We should praise a guy like Rodney Pryor for leaving Robert Morris for Georgetown and becoming an all Big East player. Like, we should, and now an NBA, you know, he's playing in Portsmouth. Like, he might get drafted or he'll be in the D League. Like, he bettered himself professionally by doing the same thing. That's all that matters. Basketball's a career for people. Like, it's not necessarily a career for you right now, but it's a career for hundreds of people every year.
And this goes back to what you said. It's like, if you could have got into Northwestern,
right, like,
or one of those purely great journalism
the
schools,
ones that
you would have done it in a heartbeat. Would anyone have said anything but other than, wow, that's awesome, Bobby.
Right,
congratulations.
Right. Like, that's like, you know, like, and not trying to, let's just say somebody at any school outside of maybe 4 or 5 say, hey, I'm going to transfer to Kentucky or Duke because it's going to help better me for life after college as a basketball player. Would anybody question that? Right. Like, no. if your goal is to make the NBA, that's your goal. Wouldn't it make sense to go to the two schools that produce the most pros every year?
You want to go somewhere that makes sense for you. For me, it maybe is a little different than someone who's only got basketball and wants
strictly,
to go to the one and done school.
Strictly basketball. Your goal is to be a professional basketball player.
Your goal is to maximize your talents.
Why
and,
are we knocking kids
and,
for this?
I don't know.
And again,
I don't know.
If you are a fucking loser that says you should honor your commitment by signing a national letter of intent, you know what you sign into. Fucking, you know what? Go sign every day, sign a fucking contract. Let's see how well you do. That's what these things are. It's a one-way street to fuck the student athlete.
Yeah, and I guess we could touch on maybe transition. I don't have the agenda in front of me right now because I'm just kind of going over this in my head. Go to our NCAA issues.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. Like, the national letter of intent in terms of – and this goes with the NCAA – in terms of what you're allowed to do and what you're, quote, not allowed to do in terms of profiting off yourself and –
Yes, that.
You know what? I can speak from experience because my brother was a Division I football player, was getting ready to sign on National Signing Day, and the coach left that morning, the day he was getting ready to sign, and the new coach called him and said, "I don't take freshman quarterbacks." The fuck are you supposed to do? You know, like, again, this is the bullshit that you see day in and day out. Across all levels, across all sports, like.
So how do you protect these the kids from
and
these
that's
situations?
My thing. Like, as I've gotten older, I kind of. What's up, Oak? What's up,
Bone?
Bone number two.
Bone number two, same bone or different
took
bone?
Took Rocky's bone and took it up. But as I've gotten older, like, you think when you get older that you're going to side more with the NCAA and away from college kids? I've sided more with college kids.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I guess I was thinking more so like on the lines of these one and dones. Like, and I don't think that's bad
for
basketball
either. Can we stop talking
either.
About how the one and done has ruined college basketball?
I want to say this. Let's transition into this because all of you that are listening, think about the opportunity. If you wouldn't have seen Joel Embiid or just name any one and done
Anthony
for
Davis.
Me, none of Anthony Davis. What an unbelievable season that was. That is good
it's
for college
great
basketball.
For college basketball.
If he didn't play in college basketball, how much more fun would that season have been in 2010, 2011? It wouldn't have been fun. Or I think
11,
it was 2011,
12.
2012.
Not only that, it would have changed college basketball. Like, would Kentucky have won the national championship that year? Right. Like,
no way.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, it's a huge what if. Like, what if LeBron James had to play in college for a year?
Do you remember Kevin Durant?
He's unbelievable at Texas.
Like, so great for college basketball.
He was one of the first freshmen that made it okay to vote for freshmen to be, like, National Player of the Year.
I'm thinking of one game in my head. I think it was Texas-Oklahoma State game.
Both of them were great.
Like, he was so fun to watch. Texas basketball, RIP.
Seriously.
Yeah, no, but like just that's what I'm saying. Think about college basketball without one and done. You wouldn't have been as big of a fan. You wouldn't have seen so many great moments. You wouldn't have been able to enjoy players for 1 year. And quite honestly, I think it's good for the players.
I mean,
think about before one and done, about the players who would get drafted out of high school and that
would
bust.
It's not necessarily that.
Eddie,
like, what's helped
frickin'
that
Curry.
Is the development, like the growth of the D League. Like, the D League is really good now, and you see guys like.
No. It's not really good now.
It helps those guys.
No, it's still a very below
Oh, I
average league
disagree.
where no one plays defense and it's all one on one and people just try
But
and
here's
get
the thing, it's
buckets to
giving
try and get a
guys,
10-day
like
contract.
Yogi Ferrell and Alex Poitras, two guys that had really good D-League years, are now professional basketball players because of that. And that's just two examples this year.
Again, it's getting better. I'm just saying from an overall perspective, it is not a
Oh, I
good
think it
league.
is.
You're speaking purely from an individual development standpoint.
But I mean, like, I think the Spanish league is still probably the second best. But after that, I would probably put, I mean,
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? You're going to put the development league
you
after
don't think the
that?
Spanish league is,
Are you
what's
outside
the
your
second best
mind?
league in the world then?
Well, it's Spain, but you're putting the D League after Spain?
Wouldn't you? Didn't you say the D League second?
No. I'm saying the D League would be like 10th or
Oh, I disagree with
15th.
that. Oh,
Oh, come
I
on.
disagree with that.
Oh, come
In
on.
terms of best leagues in the world?
Yeah, you can't seriously think that the D League is the third best league
Yeah,
in the world.
I absolutely do.
Okay, that is just the stupidest thing
Oh,
I've
I
ever
agree.
heard. You're telling me that the D League, getting kids right out of bus that leave early, that don't get drafted, it's the place for bus and people who leave
Oh, I
early
think it's.
that aren't good enough for the NBA. You think that they're better than guys who've been playing professionally since they're 18
I
years
think
old
after the Spanish league, it's the best.
in countries like Germany or Russia or Italy or Turkey. Turkey's got an unbelievable league. You look at league, even Lithuania, like their country's finishing third and fourth in the FIBA games.
I think the D
No,
league's the third best
sorry.
league.
I would love for some D League teams to go like take a European trip and like play some of these like
So would
top
I think that'd be
level
great for
Europe.
both leagues. I think it'd be great for both the D League and the European League.
It would be good for making the league better, but it still is nowhere in comparison to these countries that have had professionals playing in it since they've been 17, 18 years
I
old.
see. I still think the D League's the third best. I'll take it.
Have you been in Europe? Have you
I
watched
do.
these
I'm a
games
nerd
live?
and I watch a lot of Europe on Synergy. Like, I'll go back and watch full games.
I'm speechless. I'm going to take this up with a couple of my buddies who have played overseas and get their opinion. I don't know. I don't even know if I'd put them in the
Oh,
top
I
10.
see. I think that's.
They're 10
Oh, see,
maximum.
I think they're third. And it's, you know what? This is a good debate. Like, at least this is what the D League is doing, though. We're debating the D League.
No, you're debating the
But
D
here's the thing.
League. I'm not debating
Oh,
the
I
D
see.
League.
I disagree, man. I think it's the third. I think it's the NBA, Spain, and then the D League.
No freaking
No.
way, dude. China is a better league than the
Oh,
NBA
see, I
Development
disagree.
League.
So you think? Would you say? So what's your?
If the NBA Development League was as good as those leagues, they would pay money and people would play in it. People are going overseas to play in Russia, in China, in Italy, in Germany because they're going to make 150K, 200,000. Greece, they're going to play, even though there's a financial crisis. They're still going to go there for the opportunity to make more money. That's taking talent away from the D League. That is completely craziness.
Man, I don't know. I'm taking the D League.
No. This isn't even a debate, dude. Like, people that I know that played in the D League said, "No, I mean, I'm not doing this, man." Like, they may be good talent, but they ultimately end up leaving for Europe. Brady Heslip started in the D League. Left for Europe.
Yeah,
All
but
these
now the D League's
people
getting
start
promoted to
there.
NBA. Like, more D League guys are getting promoted to the NBA.
No. Again, that's an individualistic basis. This isn't in terms of a league and how good the league is in comparison to other
What do you
leagues
think
around the
is the
world.
third best league out of everything? What would you say? We both agree NBA 1, Spain 2. What do you think is 3?
So we're talking league or like
Just
country and basketball.
league.
league. I didn't even talk about France, dude.
I would see.
I'm not saying France. I'm just saying. I'm going to say Turkey.
You think that's a third.
I'm going to say Turkey's the third best league. Then I'd go Greece. Then I'd go Greece. Then I'd go maybe Italy. Then maybe Russia and China. Yeah, no way. No way. The D League is not even close to the third best.
With ease.
And now I'm on Eurobasket.com looking at all these poor people.
Eurobasket.com.
Looking at all these poor people who are overseas, stuck in Europe. I don't envy any of you.
All right, let's get back to bitching about the NCAA, because that's what this episode is supposed to be. Although this is really just like the loose ends episode.
No, this has been a good loose ends episode. I actually enjoyed that last debate, because that is the stupidest thing you've said since we've started this podcast.
Same for you.
You honestly think like that? I'm way off base.
I honestly do. Which is fine. Like,
no, dude, people leave the D League to go play overseas. How do you think it's a better league?
Because they are getting the best. They're still keeping talent, and now talent's getting promoted to the NBA.
No, they're keeping – no.
But they are.
No. No, the people who are getting promoted to the NBA are the second round to undrafted guys who have a chance, not the ones who leave early and are busts. This is 10% of the D-League population. The other 90%
– In terms of talent, the D-League's easily the third best.
We're not talking about talent, dude.
Well, if you're talking about in terms of payment, then it's not – like salary.
I'm not talking about payment. I'm talking about better league, like teams, basketball, championships, like how you do in a league.
Well, the D League's also a little bit screwed in that sense, because it can get like 10-day contracts playing a role in that stuff and things like that.
Exactly.
But, sure, but I'm talking in terms of just talent, the D League's easily the third best.
No.
Oh, I see. In terms of talent, I think it is.
No, put together a D League All-Star team. And then play any all-star team of a country in Europe, and they will run them.
I'll take the D-League.
They will play better basketball. They'll play team-oriented basketball. They're more skilled. They will run an NBA D-League all-star team. They may not be able to out-dunk them in a dunk contest, but they will run them.
I'll take the D-League. In terms of talent, I'll take the D-League. But I do agree that –
You are such a Kentucky fan. You're basing everything off individual skill right now. And it does not translate like that in the D-League versus these pro teams. Me, like,
where's the best talent? The best talent's in the D-League.
We're not talking about that, though. We're talking about what the best leagues are. We're not talking about individual talent. I told you, D-League's got more individualistic type talent, but that's not going to create a better league.
I think there's just a little bit. Let's get off of this. I think that we're both A, we're both not going to change the way we think, and B, we're talking about a little bit different way to look at it.
But they go hand in hand in some way. But just get off it, because I'm going to be talking to many people this week about it, just to clarify that I'm sane and then
talk to people about. I know people. I'll talk to people in the D League about it.
All right. Well, I'd like to talk to them. And know who they are, and you're probably making them up.
I'm going to make up fake Skype names and do it.
Yep. I wouldn't put it past you right now. You're that desperate.
I think you're going to start speaking a makeup language and coming on. Let's talk about transfers, because this is the last thing we have to talk about. We started talking about it, but really let's
– Are we talking grad transfers or –
Because people talk about, A, the transfer epidemic, which is the dumbest thing in the fucking world. And B, especially when it comes to grad transfers, because most of them go from a mid-major to a Power 6 now with the new Big East.
I love it. It's almost like a chance for these kids who maybe didn't – who did their due diligence and maybe ended up at a place that they thought was good for them, and it didn't end up being what they wanted it to be, and they maybe redshirted. They got to graduate So because they graduated, it's like rewarding them for a second chance. And I like that. They did their job. You know, they're student athletes. They got an education. And now they get to go see who wants them and go where they want, maybe make a run in the tournament, maybe score more points so they can help their draft stock and better competition. I like it.
To me, that's the whole thing. It's you completed your, you know, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago now? Was it 2015, I think it was, when they signed the Power Five school signed that scholarships are now worth 4 years and not the year-over-year scholarship. You completed your 4 years. Go where you want to go. If that's another year in college, which, again, like...
That's so cool. Like, I would have loved the chance to, like, play at two different universities. Obviously, I love Wisconsin 100% hands down, would never do anything to change being a Badger. I'm just saying, like, to have two different college experiences and go to two different college campuses, like
if you
and play
to Wisconsin too.
It just would be an awesome experience.
Let's say you played at Wisconsin, graduated, and now you get to go play at Florida or something like that.
Yeah, I would go somewhere warm for a year that had a good basketball program.
Like
and
another year.
That would be awesome. I always wish I would have went somewhere in the South.
Yeah, I mean, it's
I love the,
it's
love
warm
the
down
South.
There, that's for sure.
Yeah, like Ole Miss or Vanderbilt. Oh, that would have been fun. Live in Nashville and
something like that. Yeah,
I would have loved that.
That's what I don't understand is people that bitch about these things. Like, you completed 4 years. Obviously, you have another year of eligibility left because you probably sat out or you're injured 1 year, whatever, redshirted 1 year. You're 4 years, and, you know, like Seth Greenberg gets caught up on this a lot in terms of getting mad about guys leaving and how it ruins, you know, the Northeast Conference or the Atlantic Sun or, you know, Southland Conference, things like that. And again, my question is, do you ever insult the business major who leaves to go somewhere to better his career?
No, and if you think about it from a standpoint of Noah, excuse me, bless you, thank you. If you think about it, like when someone graduates and then goes to post-grad school, what do you do? Congratulations, right. Bobby. I'm glad. Like, so now it's just so hypocritical.
That's my thing, man. It's like, and we talked about this earlier, coaches and ADs and associate ADs, and everything like that, 90% of them are great guys and girls, or I should say great guys and women. 10% of them, both guys and women, are awful, massive hypocrites.
100%.
And that's what bothers me. That 10% are the ones that speak out.
You know what that is, though? It's never going to go away. It's never going to change.
So I guess here's my question. Do you pay college kids?
I like my idea. I talked myself out of an idea into an idea earlier. You incentivize them on team aspects. What do the coaches get? I'll tell you what. When we went to the Final Four, Coach Ryan got a raise. Coach Guard got a raise. Coach Close got a raise. Coach Paris got a raise. All of them got a raise. What did we see? Nothing. Obviously an experience that I'll remember and love for the rest of my life. But there's monetary elements that we helped achieve, whether that be the TV revenue that comes in or money for the university. Why not pay the kids for busting their ass in the off season? It's a full-time job. It's more than a full-time job. Forget Dokic in the hours that you put into basketball. If you're bettering yourself and playing in a high major program where you're going to make, you know, a difference, you live and breathe and watch. Like, it's not just the hours. He's only counting the hours on the floor. He's not talking about the hours watching film on your own or hanging with the team. Like, I know hanging with the team doesn't sound like work, but that is stuff that goes into you guys becoming the team that ends up going to the Final Four, that ends up making money for the university and the NCAA.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Like, again, you are putting in, not only that, but you still have to go to class. You have to go to study hall. You have to travel. Like, that's the thing people forget.
So if you're talking about a student athlete as a whole, you just added so many more hours that go into it.
But here's the thing that I guess I don't have a problem with, but where the problem lies are things like Title IX and the Olympic sports. Let's be honest. Basketball and football is what are the two sports that bring in the money. How do you compensate, you know, the women's swimming team? That's fine. Like, I'm completely cool with that. Like, if you bring in money, you get compensated for that money.
Correct.
And it's weird to say that out loud. And you know what? Credit to the women's swimming team, the men's cross country team.
Just keep it incentivized. Maybe if there's enough money coming into the university, that you incentivize the teams on the same, this, like, you don't pay them the same, but you can incentivize them for somewhat of a reward if they reach certain standards or medals or achievements on a team basis.
Yeah, like, I'm completely cool with that. Like, you know, someone like, did you watch the Summer Olympics last year?
Of course. I lived for the Olympics.
You remember Sydney McLaughlin, the 16-year-old track and field girl from the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
She's someone who, so I have ties, some of my family are like the AD and stuff like that were her at her high school. So she is now obviously committed to Kentucky. Well, let her take advantage of like the Olympics and everything. Let her spot, like, let Nike be a sponsor for her and get paid off of that.
Yeah. It's terrible. She's not going to get paid. Like, she's got to keep her amateur status. The thing, like,
you know what? If the 800-meter third-place runner at Kentucky, like, Nike doesn't want to pick them up, that's fine. Like, they're still getting, like, a partially free education.
I think, honestly, just thinking this through, I think we'll get there one day where that's going to be okay.
Lawsuits and everything like that. But I do think we do get there, too.
You're gonna see that happen.
I think it's too hard not to. Like, the more our generation gets older, and the generation above us, let's be honest, dies, the less people agree, or the more people agree that people should get incentivized,
and there'll be less people resisting change.
So, I think we had our grievances.
I think we had enough. I'm sure we'll rehash them here and there and everywhere as we keep going, but I think that was a really good start, and we agreed on some, and we disagreed on a couple, and we learned
last couple weeks, what do we think about this or this, and a lot of it tied to transfers and LOIs and things like that.
Yeah, it all comes together. So
follow us. We will talk about this.
Fundamentally SD. Fundamentally SD. Fundamentally SD.
Find us on iTunes. Subscribe. Rate. Review. All that good stuff. We will continue to pop out these episodes.
This has been my favorite episode.
I think we hit our... This is the turning point.
This has been my favorite episode because I got to share with the world that I'm a male model.
Go eat some
Wendy's. Yeah, no, I gotta cut the carbs for the next 2 days. I gotta look good for the camera. I'm gonna put some aloe on so the suntan or sunburn goes away, so I don't show up and they're like, "What happened to you? This is not what models do."
Right. But seriously, follow us on.
I want my cash.
Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. We have not been active on Instagram yet, but we need to be. We will be active on Instagram.
Yeah, come in time.
So follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, subscribe.
Subscribe iTunes.
Subscribe, rate, review, iTunes, SoundCloud, all that good stuff. I still got to try to get us on Spotify. It's been a hectic week. So it'll be on there shortly. Any last words?
No, that was fun. And, you know, you're getting You're getting the bachelor party thrown for you
this
soon,
week,
so
man.
I think we gotta have some fun with that.
I leave Thursday.
Oh no, Nashville,
yeah,
watch out!
I mean, please, if you see me, just buy me a beer and a water because God knows I need one of those. That's it.
Miller latte
Fuck
and
that.
a water.
Bud Light.
It's all he needs. Bud Light. I'm
There
a
we
Bud
go.
Light guy too.
All right, Bud Light.